And we are still dealing with foundations. And we'll be finishing foundations this month. And that's the most important, paramount thing to do, to have this program deal with issues that are really concerned. And these issues are to do with life. That is your life as a believer, as a child of God. You see? Someone asked me a simple question. And this was the question. He asked me a question. He said, why do you deal with issues in your church about poverty, deliverance, healing, breakthrough, and all those other things? And my answer was very simple. And this is what I said. Well, people will receive Jesus Christ. When they receive Jesus Christ, they will now want to be interested with the story of that Jesus. You see, you receive Jesus. I mean, okay, I gave my life to Christ. So what? So everybody's interested in the story of Jesus. You see, so you can't just say, I received Jesus Christ, and then the story ends there. It doesn't go like that. All right? So people are interested in the story of that Jesus. Overflow, are you there? I'll be coming over there at some point in time. God bless you. All right, so, you see, so it's not enough. It's not enough just to say, you know, I received Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. No, it's not enough. When one accepts Jesus, then they are interested in the story. They want to hear about that Jesus. After receiving him as Lord and Savior, people are now interested in the story of that Jesus. My Jesus heals. My Jesus delivers. My Jesus speaks. Even right now, he's speaking as I'm talking to you.
Yes.
Are you following right? So it's not enough just to say, Jesus, all right, you got Jesus, right? But now people are interested. So this is why a lot of churches don't grow. I have seen so many pastors having churches, right? And they wonder why the church is not growing. And there's only one reason what makes the church not to grow. People come to your church and they receive Jesus. When they receive Jesus, they are now interested with the story behind that Jesus. Now, when you have the same message, the same word, the same story over and over again, people are no longer interested because they want to know, who is this Jesus? What can he do for me? What is he doing for others? Hello. So tonight, we are once again dealing with this wonderful topic, dealing with the foundations. And as I said before, this is the most, you know, important topic to deal with. And as I say, every person's life is built on two foundations. Somebody said two foundations.
Two foundations.
I didn't hear you properly. Say it again. Two foundations.
Two foundations.
Now, the two foundations are the following foundations. It's either your life is built on a faulty foundation, which is a wrong foundation, or your life is built on a godly foundation, which is Jesus. Your life is a result of what happened years ago. Spiritually, when we are dealing with the foundations, when we are praying for people, that the foundations they are built upon must be destroyed, we'll look at the background. As I said before, we have so many people right in this place who are dreaming big, They want to achieve a lot of things. They want to do so much things in life. But they're wondering, no matter how they want to become big, they can't be big. And I'm challenging you, you will never be big until you are delivered. Do you know why? Because, listen to me, because this is not an issue of you. It's your whole family. Nobody in your family is ever big. You see, so it's either you take some steps and you feel like you're about to make it in life, and before you know it, you're back to zero. And do you know why? Because of foundations. Your foundation of life, which you are born, is a wrong foundation. So if we have to deliver you, or if you have to reach where you want to reach, first of all, you must have your foundation prepared. Because you are a result of what happened long time ago. Praise be to God. Tell the neighbor next to you, tell them that you are a result of what happened a long time ago.
You are a result of what happened a long time ago.
And I said to you, you see, when you're born, right, and you're growing and you're living and you reach a level of not caring about what's really going on in my family. I said there are two types of poverty, for example. There's a poverty that is there just because it's poverty. And this can be dealt with hard work, with the school. You go to school, you get a job, a nice job, and you become rich and you do the poverty. But there's a certain type of poverty which is so spiritual. It's demonic. No matter how you went to school, no matter how hard work you do, but you are still poor. That type of poverty is not a normal poverty. It is something it must be dealt with. It is spiritual, and it can only be dealt with spiritually. The dangers of poverty. These are the dangers of poverty. The dangers of poverty are that not only you become poor, it's you and your whole family. Your children too are poor. It's not only you who is poor. Your children too are poor. Your grandchildren too are poor. So we are dealing with a generation right here. It's a generation. Someone say generation.
Generation.
It's a generation. So when we are dealing with such type of foundations, we must understand, and as I said before, that, you know, how do you know that in your family there are evil foundations that are making your life to be affected? I said, number one, we see a lot of things. For example, the topic I'm dealing with right now, the topic of poverty and the spirit of almost. As I said, it's all the times You almost got married. You almost bought a car. You don't finish it. You almost. And then, right, we're going to see some scriptures right here. And we're going to see what happens with the almost. And also at the very same time, we are dealing with the demon of poverty. Demon of poverty. Foundations of poverty. I thought I was done last week until God said, you are joking. Remember, right? Yeah. And I was like, we are preaching for the last time. And the Lord said, you are joking. You haven't. He said, this is the strongest demon ever. You know? A burial spirit and the spirit of mammon. So we are dealing with a very sensitive topic right now. You see, so we have people who are living a life which is not their life, but because we are born on that foundation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said hallelujah.
Amen.
So when you are free, when you are free from the evil foundations, when the foundations are over, then you are free. I want you to see something right now. I want you to see in your mind an animal trapped. Did you see that in your mind? Oh, you don't know a trap anyway. Some of you don't know what is a trap. You're born in Santon and all these other places. All right. Just look at an animal that is trapped. That is, you see, let me not use a trap, but let me just use a word. It is tied with a string. Now, or a chain. Now, this animal wants to make movements. This animal wants to move forward. This animal wants to change direction from where it is to another place. Trust you me, as long as this churn is still on that animal, no matter how the animal may desire to go far, it will never go far. The only way of making this animal go far is to break the chain. So we got so many people right in this room who are dreaming high. They want to achieve so many things in life. They want to do it for the sake of their family, for their community, for the church. They want to fulfill their prophetic destiny. But they will never do that because of one reason. And the reason is they are tied. You see, it's not them, but their family. They are born on a generation that is tied. No wonder their sister is having the same problem. Their mother, the same problem. Their auntie, the same problem. It's not about them. It's about a generational problem. So when we are dealing with you, we must not look at you, but we must look at your generation and deal with your problem from the root where it's coming from. Now, that's what I'm saying to you. You are praying. Praise be to God, you're praying. Oh, Father, in the name of the Lord, I pray that God, you open my life. Oh, Father, we pray that let there be a miracle. Oh, God, okay, no problem. But the issue is, do you have the answer? Yes, you do. I will tell you, yes, you do. But all those answers, they're almost there. You almost got a breakthrough. It didn't happen. You almost got a job. It didn't happen. You almost got married. It didn't happen. You almost did this. You almost did that. You almost, God answers you. But the foundation is wrong. So the blessings of God, when they come upon you, they're failing to stand because the foundation is demonic. The foundation is wrong. Until you are delivered from the foundation root, then you begin to see. So when we are dealing with this topic, it is very important, very paramount to have this acquisition of information that must be in you. The Bible says, my people are perishing. Not because they're lacking of prayers, not because they don't go to church, but they lack knowledge. They lack gnosis. They are lacking a certain revelation knowledge. Epigeno. So when you don't have it, you don't know it. So you are living, and as I said before, that shockingly, everybody is interested in your background. Apart from yourself. Everybody. You want to get a job? Well, no problem. Give us your CV. They get your CV, and then they check your background. They say, well, okay, can we have a letter from your former place of work? We want to have a letter. We just want to know about you, you know? And they will take a decision based on what that letter say. If the letter says she is rude from your former work, in fact, they don't even tell you sometimes. They make a phone call themselves. Do you know so-so? Yes. Was he working in your company? Yeah. Why are they doing their background? What's wrong with them? Oh, it's important because they can't get you. They can't give you that big position without seeing your background. It's the same way with God. He will never lift you to a level where you want to be if your background is still remaining the way it is. We must do something tonight. We must do something tonight. A prayer must be made.
Oh, yes.
Which must remove all bad things in your background.
Oh, yes.
Somebody say yes.
Yes. Preach, black man.
Something. I feel like somebody's hearing me so right. We must do something with your background because you were not there. You were not born by that time. When your great-grandmother had that situation, when your great-grandfather had a case of poverty, you were not there, but you are a victim now. No wonder anything you are trying to do, nothing's going on. But praise be to God because there will be deliverance tonight.
Oh, yes.
Somebody say, I'm here, right, prophet?
I'm here.
I'm here, my prophet.
I'm here, my prophet.
Oh, God is right here too. And he will set you free. And you're going to go home free for free. So you say, hallelujah, I've been praying for a long time. Nothing is changing in me. I've been praying for a long time. Nothing is changing in me. Oh, I understand you. And I know why things are not changing. Do you know why? Background. You see, everybody. Oh, I told you again, you go to the hospital. Yeah, I'm sick. You go there, you're shivering. You are shivering in the hospital. They'll be like, oh, sorry. First question. Is anybody in your family with a history of diabetes? Oh, doctors are going to my history. I don't know. Like, okay, when I test your sugar level. I'm telling you. They will do that. When I test the sugar, we want to check, is anybody in your family having this? So imagine at your workplace, they want to see your history. Doctors want to see your history. Yourself, you are nothing. You're not interested. But I'm interested. I want to dig. I want to know where my problem came from. Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
No wonder right now, you are telling everybody, I got problems. Oh, you have problems? Yes, so many problems. What's your problem? No, nothing's moving in my life. Okay, nothing's moving in your life? Yes, nothing. In fact, nothing. You see, okay, do you know what is your problem? You can't show it. What is your problem? You're a hard worker, you're a good planner, but can you tell us what is your real problem? You will never show us your problem. You will never, because you don't know it. You don't know your problem. All you know is you are in results. You are treating symptoms, not the disease. Oh, if you are sick, for example, if you are sick of a particular disease, right? And the disease, the symptoms of it, is to have a wound, maybe on your face. Now, you have a wound on your face, no matter how you may treat it, it doesn't mean that the disease is out of your body. You have treated a symptom. And that's what you're trying to do now. You're trying to get a job. You are trying to do this business to treat a symptom of the financial crisis you are having right now in your house. But you see, after getting the job, there'll be more problems. After getting the business, there are more problems. Because it's not curing the real problem. The real problem is spiritual. It is in the background. When we deal with it from the root cause, when we pray from the root cause.
Oh, yes.
Oh, Rabba Supra di Gadia.
I receive.
When we handle your situation, and I said to you, how do a Christian know that I have a foundation, for example, of almost, or a foundation of poverty? It is very easy. When you see your spiritual life, all the times up and down. Listen. When some moments you feel so fire, you know, oh, hey. And sometimes feel like, oh, you are just like a mere human being. You see, what you're portraying in the spirit is what is portrayed financially. is what is portrayed in everything that you do. The up and downs that you have spiritually are the same ups and downs financially. They are the same ups and downs in everything you are trying to do. There were moments you could pray, you could fast. What's happening with you now? Are you fasting like before? Are you praying like before? If the enemy can finish you spiritually, what more to do with your finances? What is to do with your marital life? Anything about you is bound. Because if you spiritually you're up and down, it that weighs what happens around you. Somebody say, I'm not down. Say, I operate from the mountaintop.
I operate from the mountaintop.
Don't go down, brother. Hey, tell your neighbor, don't go down.
Don't go down.
Say, stand.
Stand.
Say, charge in the spirit.
Charge in the spirit.
Charge in the spirit.
Charge in the spirit.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We had an awesome time. I was doing an incident prayer and fasting program. And when I was closing the program, I invited some few people. You know, when was that? On Wednesday, I invited some few people. It was a secret invitation. If you are not invited, it means you are very important. So we had, you know, hey, my goodness, we had a wonderful moment right here. We were worshiping. There was no begging. I beg, nothing. It was serious worship. How many were here? All right, so we were worshiping and worshiping, and boom, people began to see angels. God began to talk to them physically, personally. It was an awesome atmosphere. An awesome atmosphere. People had encounters. The Lord spoke so many things, and I've taken all what the Lord said on that day through different people, and I've written them. I've written them down. All of them, I have them. What the Lord said, it was a wonderful. Wonderful. That night, I didn't have to prophesy. Members were prophesying. I didn't have to. Members were prophesying. The Lord just visited in a special way, and it was amazing, glorious. And if you were not there, it means you are very important. Somebody said, next time.
Next time.
All right. So, all right. Now, what I'm trying to say to you is, and in this prayer and fasting, in this time of prayer, I was praying for one particular thing. I was praying for one particular thing. You know, I was standing on your guard, breaking and destroying every evil foundation. The Lord said to me, there's an attack to the body of Christ. There's an attack to the body of Christ. Almost all churches. Look at the members in those churches. Financially, the devil is attacking them. And God said, chase the devil out of your church. Command the demon of poverty out of your church. This is spiritual warfare. You must trust me on this. I have so many people watching on the TV right now, okay? And some believe in what I'm preaching, and some that don't. Okay, if you don't, I don't believe in you too either. But I want you to hear this. Listen, I want you to hear this. All right, now I want you to hear this. If you want to eliminate the enemy, the best way you can is to destroy his financial source. the devil looks at you and sees you as a threat. He says, okay, what I'm going to do is to destroy their financial muscles. That's one-on-one. Now you are the only area that the devil is trying to attack you much is that area. Let's check Galatians chapter 3. Let's go to our scriptures tonight. Galatians chapter 3. From verse 13. Let's read together. One, they go read. Verse 14. Now, right, go back to verse 13, right? The Bible says, give me King James Version. Now, the Bible says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. All right, I've heard people say, I just want to die, I just want to die. The Bible said, any person who is hanged on a tree is cursed. So if you want to kill yourself, you can go ahead. That the blessing of Abraham, did you hear that? The Bible says, cursed is every man. Cursed is every man who is hanging on the tree. Now the Bible says, Jesus became a curse for us. Then, He has redeemed us from the curse. We have redemption from the curse. But what's happening? If He redeemed us from the curse, why then are you still having the curse in your life? That's why we're here. Say we must, you know, claim our redemption. That's what we are doing. To claim our what? Redemption. Because we are redeemed from every curse. Now verse 14, the Bible says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So the reason of redemption from the curse is that we might receive the promise of what? The promise which God gave Abraham through faith in the Spirit. So God made a promise to Abraham. What was the promise? Verse 15, the Bible continues. In the manner of men, brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannuleth or addeth thereunto. Now give me Good News Translation over there. Now, in Good News Translation, it is more understood. My friends, I'm going to use an everyday example. When two people agree on a matter and sign an agreement, no one can break it or add anything to it. So what is the agreement? Redemption from the curse. Deliverance from the curse.